I've been blessed these past few weeks by the preaching and teaching of Michael Luciano and Sean Quinlan and others, Richard Lee last week. All these faithful men who have been bringing the word of God has nourished me, blessed me mightily. And for those who might be visiting with us today, I suffered a grand mal seizure back on September the 23rd. And or September the 25th, I can't remember now, but and this is my first Sunday in the pulpit since then. And the doctors told me that one side effect might be temporary short-term memory loss, but I'm doing good. By the way, I'm Dave Epstein, and who are you all? Amen. Now, the last message I preached on September 23rd was the greatest miracle of all. Amen? And in that message, we talked about the fact that God's not just interested in what we believe, although that's important, or even how we behave, which is also important. But ultimately, he's interested in who we are becoming. Whether we are becoming more and more like Jesus because of what we believe and how we behave and the closeness of the Spirit of God to us. And so we are the greatest miracle of all when we become like Jesus. And that's the ultimate purpose of the Christian life, is the miracle of becoming like Jesus. And that's the only way to evaluate whether we are serious about our faith or not. The only way to evaluate. Now, in performing this miracle of helping us become more like Jesus, God tests our faith. And the messages today by myself and Sean are about faith and about the fact that God tests us to grow our faith. And sometimes he tests us severely, as he is testing my beautiful wife Sandy and I, even now with this very serious condition. And so I want to read from James before we turn to Philippians chapter 4. Look at James chapter 1. And James tells us in verse 2, "Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness," or maturity as well, "and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, mature, lacking in nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him or her ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to them." And verse 12, "Blessed is the person who remains steadfast under trial, for when he or she has stood the test, they will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." And we see immediately that God tests us, tests our faith, number one, to mature us, right? And whenever he says mature us, he means make us more like Jesus. And in verse 12, he tests our faith that we might have an opportunity to demonstrate our love for him. When by his grace we trust him in that test, as James says throughout the book, when we humble ourselves before him in the midst of the test, the challenge, and he then gives that wisdom which goes beyond just our human understanding and ability. He gives that divine wisdom and guidance. And that empowers us to do the work of faith that James is so famous for. And in giving that work of faith, doing that work of faith, verse 12, we receive the blessing. And that is the crown of life, which is not just a distant promise, it's a present promise. The crown which is life, meaning more of the presence of God now. A God moment now, here and now. And that is the purpose of the test, maturity and loving God. And the blessing is more of God, amen? And I need more of God today, even by faith today, not by sight. I need more of God. And we all do, amen? Glory to God. And the tough times are the best times to grow spiritually, to become more mature in our faith, more like Jesus in the tough times, and to show more and more of our love for God in the tough times. Amen? My experience a few weeks ago, I remember nothing. not even 1 second of it. But my wife, Sandy, remembers every second of it. She told me that we were both sleeping in the middle of the night, and suddenly my arms and my whole body became totally rigid like this, and I was shaking uncontrollably, and I was groaning terribly, and I was doing that for 10 to 15 minutes, unconscious. She, of course, called the ambulance, and they came and got me. I remember nothing. And took me to the hospital, and I remained unconscious for 2 hours. And then, when I guess slowly began to regain consciousness, it was like a dream. Literally, I thought I was dreaming. And I could see these shadowy figures all in these white coats. And I kept thinking, if I just bear down, I can sort of make sense of this, right? And it seemed like every time I would think and just get to that point where I could make sense of it, I would lose it again. And I just kept thinking I was dreaming for hours, right? It probably was just a few minutes. And then one of the shadowy figures came over to me and put his hand on my arm and said, Mr. Epstein, how are you feeling? And I looked up at him and I said, are you real? And he laughed and said, yes, Mr. Epstein, I'm very real. I'm doctor. And he said, you had a seizure and you've been unconscious. And we're here to help you. We thank God for that. And then I saw my beautiful wife, Sandy, coming across the room. And she gave me a nice kiss and held my hand. And I said to her, sweetheart, I'm so sorry that you had to go through this all alone. And she said, the Lord was there. I felt his presence. I wasn't alone. And she said, I love you. And I love you too, baby. Now, God knows that one obstacle that can keep us from trusting God and experiencing his presence and blessing is anxiety. It is fear. And he knows that that is an obstacle that we need to trust him to overcome and have that victory. So in Philippians 4, I want you to turn back from James to Philippians 4. I was in this passage, and as I slowly began to get ready to preach again, I had the opportunity a couple of weeks ago to share a short devotional with the prayer meeting, which was wonderful. First of all, I love the prayer meeting, but it was nice to have 15 minutes to see if I could still put two sentences together. And we went to this passage, and I shared it just very briefly. And then they said to me, in their love, they said, Pastor, you should just share that again with the whole congregation. And, you know, and I said, okay, I think I will. And I'll work on it a little bit and fill it out a bit, and then I'll do it for the whole congregation. So I thank the prayer meeting and the folks there for encouraging me in this as I get back at this. But in Philippians chapter 4, we read this. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, always, even when you just had a grand mal seizure. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. As Sandy said, he was right there with her and with me. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then the end of verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. And so the Lord really led me to this passage and really ministered to myself and to Sandy with this passage, and the Lord, like he's saying to me and to all of us, acknowledge the challenge, whatever the test is that you're facing right now in your life, whether it be your health or work or finances, your family, your future, whatever it is that you fear and you feel anxious about. The Lord says, just acknowledge the challenge that it is possible to be anxious about anything. Anything can cause us anxiety. And we each have our own version of that, right? But he says to let your request be made known to him. And then he will work mightily in your life, your heart, your mind, so your thoughts don't run away with you and your heart doesn't get overwhelmed, amen? He promises that. And it's interesting, in the book of Philippians, the Philippians themselves were anxious about many things. And even Paul, in one interesting place, mentions that he was even anxious about something. And this is cool because we can identify with this. I want you to just see this very briefly, okay? Go back to chapter 1. First of all, they were anxious about Paul because he was in his first Roman imprisonment. And he was in jail, basically. And he was part of the persecuted church. Even as we pray for Asia Bibi, our dear sister in the Lord in Pakistan, who's been unjustly incarcerated for 8 years and is being threatened with execution. The clerics are clamoring for his execution, for her execution. They're even saying to the Supreme Court justices in Pakistan, if you don't execute her, we will kill you and your families. Even as we pray for the persecuted church, amen. And November the 11th, after the 11 o'clock service, we have a special prayer time for the persecuted church, which is awesome. But we read in chapter 1, verse 19, they had that concern about Paul. Let's see what it says. Paul says, yes, and I rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so they had fears for their brother Paul, who was imprisoned and part of that persecuted church, amen? And Paul said, it's possible to be anxious about this, but trust God in the midst of it, amen? And then in chapter 2, they were concerned about a friend of theirs, Epaphroditus, who was ill. Look at verse 25. Paul writes, I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. So Epaphroditus was sick, but he was distressed for the people because he knew how that would affect them. Indeed, he was ill near death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be, what does he say? Less anxious. Even Paul the apostle, who wrote scripture and raised the dead, even Paul had anxieties. And he gave them to God. He trusted God. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. They also were anxious about the false teachers. Even as we see a lot of false teaching in our Christian world today, particularly in the prosperity gospel, the horrendous abuse of the true meaning of the spiritual life and the full riches of Christ, amen? And so they were concerned also. Chapter 3, verse 2, Paul referred to these false teachers as, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Even though they were professing Christ, they were denying the gospel. they were substituting it with another gospel, which was not the gospel. And he called them out. Look at verse 19. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things, he says. So they were distressed about this false teaching. And the Lord said, rest in me, trust me, know my truth. Amen. And you don't have to fret about that. You don't have to be anxious about that. They were also stressful. I'll just take a moment here. They were also stressful about some bad relationships in their congregation. And it was really causing them a lot of distress. You see that in chapter 4, verse 2. He says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. So these two godly women were at odds with one another in the congregation. He says, yes, and I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Help these women and rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And so these two wonderful ladies who had served with the Apostle Paul personally were going at it a little bit. Doesn't say exactly what it was. But it does say they were going after each other a little bit. And Paul said this can make us anxious, obviously. The circle of friends, the church. But don't let it make you anxious. Actually, just address it with your love, with your loving discipline if necessary. But address it and let the Lord bless the situation. Amen? Very important. And then, of course, they were, like all of us, concerned about practical needs, just the practical needs of daily life. They were concerned about Paul's practical needs, and he was concerned about their practical needs. You see that in chapter 4, verse 10? I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. And we just had our wonderful missions conference last weekend and our wonderful loving Muslim conference yesterday. And we know what it's like to meet each other's needs here and also to meet the needs of our brothers and sisters as they share the gospel around the world. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. That's another idea. The principle is, even as we bless, we are blessed. Amen. I have received full payment and more. I'm supplied well, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. When we bless each other, help each other, meet the needs of each other. And then, he says, his concern for them, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And we just spent some wonderful time praising God and particularly focusing on praising God the Father today. Amen. So they were concerned about their needs as well. And the Lord said, trust me, trust me. Humble yourself. I'll give you wisdom. I'll make provision. Then you do the work of faith. You do those good works. You love each other. And then you'll know my presence. You'll experience God. That's what he says. That's James. That's James. The Lord is always reminding us that he is with us. Amen? Always reminding us that he is with us. As my beautiful wife said, honey, I wasn't alone. The Lord was with me. I experienced his presence that night. Amen? He's with us. My neurologist was absolutely wonderful. I tell you, if you're going to have something go wrong, make sure it's in New York City. unbelievable. The people are just the best and the brightest, and I'm telling you, it's phenomenal. We've got some of them in our own congregation. We thank God for them. But she was amazing. She found the source of my seizure. It was in the left temporal lobe, and that's somewhere between here and here. On this side, I just don't know exactly where. She found epilepsy. Unusual later in life, apparently, from what I'm told, but they found epilepsy. That's good news, though, because they found it, amen? And then they can begin to treat it. At least you don't know, you don't go around thinking, what was it, right? And as I began sharing the gospel with her, you know, I do have a tendency to do that in every opportunity. Actually, I'll tell you later, about 2 days ago, when the deaconesses asked if I would join them and visit one of our people in the hospital, in his room when he was shut in, I said, oh, absolutely. And on the train down and the train back, I had the opportunity of sharing the gospel with six people. But I'll share that with you another sermon. So as I began to share the gospel with this wonderful doctor, she looked at Sandy and I and she said, I'm a Christian too, she said. I'm a Christian too, with great enthusiasm and passion. It reminded me again of the verse as Sandy and I rejoiced with my doctor as a brother and sisters in Christ. It reminded me of the verse where Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in your midst. And the three of us sensed and experienced God in our midst in that moment. I love when Peter says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. He cares for you. He loves you personally by name. Amen. So the Lord says, acknowledge the challenge. It's okay. It's okay to be anxious because it happens to all of us, but there's a solution for that. All right. There's a solution. And that is sort of apply the solution, he says. Because it's possible to be anxious about anything, he says, make sure you pray about everything with thanksgiving. Because it is possible to be anxious about anything, he says, therefore pray about everything, but always with thanksgiving. I want you to see that. Chapter 4 of Philippians, he says in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In everything, every test, every anxiety, pray and supplicate. Bring your requests, bring your needs to God and supplicate with long-suffering and with patience and with passion, amen? Share with God and always do it in the context of what? The context of thanksgiving. Even thanksgiving for the test, right? Even thanksgiving for the trial, the challenge. Even in the midst of that, for everything. It reminded me, I'm going to come back to Philippians, but it reminded me of Romans 8 a little bit when he talks about be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In Romans 8, where the world is groaning and the Christian church is groaning and God is groaning. That's the context. We read in verse 26 of Romans 8, likewise, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't always know exactly what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. So even as we pray in our limited way, which is a privilege, the Spirit of God says, I'm praying with you. Your prayers are limited, although they're genuine, but I know everything, and I'm groaning with you. I was thinking of my own groaning in the midst of this seizure, and I'm not even remembering 1 second of it. And the Spirit of God is groaning with us, right? How powerful is that with you? And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the what? The will of God. His prayer is always the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Good things, bad things, all work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And the purpose is to make us like Jesus. For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he called. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he glorified. And so Sandy and I see my seizure in the context of God's purpose and plan, which he had before the foundation of the world in foreknowing and predestinating us to be conformed to Christ, to become like Christ, and in time and space and history called us, justified us, and one day will, with you as well who know the Lord, will glorify us and give us that new body with no more problems with the left temporal lobe. Amen? So that's why we pray, because the Spirit's praying right with us. I love that. Glory to God. I had a lot of tests, by the way. But as I said, man, if it's going to happen, let it happen in New York City. Had a lot of tests, blood tests, of course. That's pretty standard. And then I had the MRI. Man, thank God I'm not claustrophobic. Wow, that was an experience. And then I had the EKG. And then I had the EEG. And then I had the Doppler. And there's probably two or three other ones that I forget now. And the wonderful medical technician, the lady who did my EEG, which they told me is the test that actually found my problem. I began, of course, sharing my testimony with her and sharing the gospel with her and talking about Calvary and giving her literature about Calvary and the gospel and inviting her and all that stuff, and was sharing with her, and she did the test, of course, and then we kept talking. And about 15 minutes went by after the test was done. And she wasn't in a hurry to leave. I wasn't in a hurry to leave. I kept talking to her about the gospel. She wanted to hear more about the gospel. And it was just a wonderful thing. In the midst of this, God gave this other opportunity to share the gospel with her. She received it with excitement. So I shared a gospel with her and left her the literature about the gospel, about our church. It was awesome. Reminded me again. In everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And in the midst of that, he'll take care of it. He'll take care of that. And then, of course, we anticipate the blessing. Even as we acknowledge the challenge and we acknowledge the challenge and we apply the solution, which is the prayer with thanksgiving, amen, we anticipate the blessing. Do you see that in Philippians 4, verse 7? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, and the God of peace will be with you. There's the promise, the peace of God, which he says is beyond human understanding. It's in another realm. It's in another level. It's beyond my mind and my heart to even imagine it or think about it. It's God's peace. The God of peace gives this peace. This comes right from him. And you can't define it. You can just experience it. As he is beyond definition as well. And we really are experiencing that. Thank you for your prayers, your love. I also had a wonderful lady medical technician doing my Doppler test. And these divine appointments were just unbelievable. She was doing this Doppler test, and they'd already found this problem, but they wanted to do this too because they weren't sure if there were some other things maybe involved, you know, like tumors and bleeding, all these other kinds of things. So I said, Doppler on, you know, find anything, you know, whatever you got to find, you find it. And so she's running this Doppler test. And when it was over, Sandy and I were getting ready to leave, and I began to share the gospel with her. and about God's love for her, his grace, and we'd love to have her come by the church and hear the gospel with us and all these things, right? And gave her some literature about Amazing Grace and about John Newton's story in the 18th century, the slave trader. We just had our amazing missions conference about human trafficking and slavery today. So you can connect all these things, right? And she took the literature and listened as I shared my faith. Then I shared with her that I had the privilege of being the senior pastor here at Calvary and invited her to come by. And she began to cry. Sandy was with me. She began to cry when I told her we were part of this church, Calvary Baptist Church. And as she began to cry, then she began to laugh and get excited, laughing and crying all at the same time. And she said, "You're Pastor Dave?" And I said, yeah, I'm Pastor Dave. She gave Sandy and I the biggest hugs. And she said, "You're on WMCA, the radio." And I said, "Yes." She said, "I thought I recognized your voice." She said, "I've been listening to your teaching, your church's teaching on the radio for years. It has strengthened me enormously in my spiritual life. And I love your church," she said, "and my son attended Geneva School when it met in your church." And we rejoice together in God's grace and love. Amen. "And the God of peace will be with you." Man, amazing. Amazing what God did. And of course, if you're here without that grace today, as I shared with these other ladies, that grace is yours today. Don't turn your back on grace. The grace of God in Jesus Christ, when Christ died for your sins personally. You don't have to earn God's love or forgiveness. Just receive the grace. Receive Jesus, amen? Trust him by faith. It's all grace. Then the good works which follow will be a testimony to grace in your life. Amen. The good works don't earn grace. Grace produces the good works. It's the gospel. Amen. Don't leave here without the gospel, without Jesus Christ today. Sandy and I want to thank you for your love and prayers for us in this situation. We love you back, by the way. God is using this wonderful family at Calvary Baptist Church to engage New York City and to impact the world with the message of Jesus Christ mightily. In a missions conference recently, the Muslim Loving Muslim Conference yesterday, the short-term missions groups that are going out, Pastor Alphonse and his dear wife and children, and Tony and Teresa are heading out to Pakistan tonight, really, 1 a.m. in the morning. Our brother Hervé, and also some medical people from Brooklyn Tab are going also. It's just going to be amazing. So let's keep praying for them. And remember James 1:12, "Blessed is the man or woman who perseveres under trial. For once he or she's been approved, they shall receive the crown of life, more of the experience of God himself, which God has promised to those who love him." So the question as you go now is, where are you being tested right now? What's the most challenging thing you're facing right now that may cause you fear, anxiety, whatever that may be? We all have it. Paul even had it. Just trust him today. Pray about everything. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Amen. That peace will guard your hearts. The Spirit will lead you. And you will have the victory. Whatever that is, we give thanks to God for everything. Amen. We trust him for everything. And then you and I will have that God moment. God is in this place. And for a moment, I didn't even know it. But how awesome is this place? Amen? Glory to God, everybody. In the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and all God's amazed at the grace of God people said, amen. Glory to God.